You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's 40 bucks right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident fanalist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. So I did it. I actually finished my top 20 wide receivers. I didn't think I was going to, but I woke up at 4 just kind of naturally, and I was like, you know what? I bet if I go downstairs, no distractions, I could finish this because I only had like 8 or 9 done yesterday. And I did. I powered through it. And I got to be honest, I was fine with it until I got toward the consensus first rounders, and two of them I just don't like. One of them is considered by some to be the best wide receiver in the class. I saw zero things that I found interesting. So, you know, I'm not going to hammer it too hard because I'm sure I'm wrong about a few of these guys. But basically, I put them into tiers. There's the my guy tiers, which are I'm banging the table, they're awesome, I like them, and there's five of them. Then there's the tier I call the possible number twos, which is to say, if we draft them, there's a better than not chance that they could actually rise up to be a legit number two option. I probably put too many people in here. It's really hard when you're kind of going through this and you don't have a strict criteria to just remember, right? So by the time you get to like your 15th receiver and you're looking at the list, like, do you put him above or below this guy? And I'm trying to read my notes and remember what he did. And so then you got to kind of watch him all over again. It's like, oh yeah, no, I think he's a little worse than that. But anyways, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that I put in that list. Then, numbers 14 through 19, I have like the rest. And what I mean by that is I put them in the same tier as the MVS, the Geronimo, those kinds of guys. They can do some stuff. I bet they can come in and get us excited for a couple of plays and a couple of, you know, they can do some stuff. And then there's one that I put in the don't want category. There's just nothing there. So I got that. I want to talk about it, I guess, a little bit just to kind of give you my thoughts, and I can put this forward again. I'm really upset that there are two guys here that I just don't like, especially one, because I know people are coming for my throat. But you know what? I don't care. I didn't see anything at all. Nothing. So I'll go through that and give you my thoughts. Sticking with the wide receiver theme, there was a question posed in the Facebook group that I have seen now several times, and I want to just directly, I feel like I've done it before, but I want to do it again, tackle it head on. And that is from Todd in the Facebook group talking about Marquez Valdez-Scantling possibly breaking out. Now, he did it from a different angle. Most people come at it from the, well, look at what Devontae did in their first 2 years. Why don't we think Marquez can do that? He took it from the, what's so great about Breshad Perriman when Marquez has done more in 2 seasons than Breshad has done in 3. So I just want to go at Marquez directly, regardless of what angle you're coming at, because some people are still hanging on that. And look, we do this all the time, and this is what gets frustrating. We do this all the time. There's always somebody that's going to break out. This is just the Packer fan in us, and every team fan base does this. This guy's going to be great. And there's another question about a quarterback. Is our number two guy the guy? Because I've heard rumors that he's going to be... Yes, you've heard rumors from other Packer fans who get overly excited about mediocre to subpar players thinking they're elite players when they're very clearly not. So I want to kind of address that. And I guess we'll see where we go from there. Usually weekends are a little bit shorter anyways. That might take up the time. If not, lots of content to talk about. I've got a list a mile long thanks to this glorious Facebook group. Speaking of, make sure you are in the Packernet Podcast Facebook group. Make sure you like the Packernet Podcast Facebook page. And a special thank you to Ken for getting us up to 80 patrons. So we need to get 20 more patrons this month. That is the goal. Again, a simple dollar. It's only a buck. If you think you could spare a dollar to help support the show, that would be very, very greatly appreciated. And as I've said, 100 people given a dollar probably means more to me than a dollar means to 100 people. So I'm guessing it doesn't mean a ton, and it feels like it might not mean much, but I promise you it does. And it's very, very greatly appreciated. Also, something to keep an eye on, we are officially creeping up on episode 700. So keep that in mind also. Usually I beg for a little bit of money when we hit those milestones. It is a pretty big milestone. The other exciting thing to think about is that there's 365 days in a year, and if I'm doing one a day, within the next year we're going to be at 1,000 episodes. That's just crazy to think about. But anyways, thank you all so much for the support. Why don't we quick take a break, and we'll talk about some wide receivers. If you're looking for something fun to do this spring, you might want to consider going to Arizona. Why would you do that? Well, for the Cactus League spring training, obviously. Silly. Amazing weather, great landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures, incredible food, and lots of baseball. You know what else I found out they've got? I've been to a lot of different botanical gardens out here in the Wisconsins, and it's a place with flowers, and that's kind of cool, I guess. But they got a desert botanical gardens. I tend to feel like if you've seen a flower, you've seen a flower. But looking through the pictures, I've never seen stuff like this before. Granted, half of them are cacti, but, you know, it's different. Whatever it is you feel like doing when you go out there, the bottom line is it is the perfect destination if you're looking for a cheap, relaxing, fun-filled family vacation. If you want to check it out, go to visitarizona.com/springtraining. I don't know why. Every time I say spring, it's S-H. It's not spring, so don't type that in. Let me try it again. visitarizona.com/springtraining. Nailed that.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So the first thing I want to do is kind of go through a little bit of a list here. We'll start with the MVS thing, but here's how I want to start. Let's go through a list of a couple different names of guys that Packer fans have said are going to be elite level, amazing players that were late round people that we never should have expected much from and didn't get much from. Some of these guys are younger, so maybe they could turn a corner, but let's just see how many we could find. Marquez is one. Geronimo. Kumaro. Ryan Grant, people love, and the guy never even stepped foot on the field, but people are convinced if he gets on the field, he's going to change things. Darius Shepherd. Game changer. Equanimeous St. Brown. Maybe. We haven't seen it yet, but he had a lot of hype. Alan Lazard. Some people think he's already a legit number two, but either way, the hype is there. How about Cole Madison, late-round offensive lineman? Robert Tonyan, Tim Boyle, Danny Vitale. How about Oren Burks? Not really late round, but he's going to be a freak. Look at that speed. How about Ty Summers, speaking of linebacker? Seventh round linebacker, and we were convinced he was the second coming of Luke Kuechly, Jamon Moore, Bashaud Breeland, Josh Jones, Tony Brown, Malachi Dupree, Michael Clark. Remember Michael Clark, the really tall guy? Guy's going to be a freak. Maxwell McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother. Maybe not all these are hitting you, but some of them probably should. How about Jeff Janis? Devontae Mays was my guy. He was one of the worst running backs I've ever seen in my life. Like, he had like 2 carries, 2 fumbles. Vince Beagle, Herb Waters, Josh Hawkins, Rayshon Pringle, Ladarius Gunter was a big deal for a while, Donatello Brown, Lindsey Pipkins. How about Greer Martini? Remember that guy? Chris Odom. I liked Chris Odom because in the preseason he had a ton of sacks for the Falcons. Kendall Donerson, Jared Abradaris. Remember Kennard Backman, the tight end? Or Justin Perillo, these guys that were going to turn a corner. The point is, we always idealize guy. And that's, I don't mind that. If we draft a guy and then we get excited about a 7th round guy, I don't really mind. But as the season goes on, if there's still 7th round guys, or 6th round, or 5th round guys, and they don't seem to be getting any better, maybe it's time to recognize they went as late as they did for a reason. And we do this all the time. And again, at first I don't mind, but as the season goes on, when people start screaming and crying, why don't we see this person more? They should be on the field more. They look so good in preseason that one time. You gotta stop. And so the fact of the matter is, the Packers very recently have not done anything to bring in talent at wide receiver. Now, we as Packer fans think we have a ton of talent because we got guys that are tall, we got guys that are fast, and we got some guys that are tall and fast. But again, my biggest question about MVS is, how do you get a guy that's that big and that fast that goes that late? Good luck finding anybody just about anywhere with that level of size and speed. It's incredible. What's wrong with him? Now, if you wanted to, you could say nothing. You can go the whole, you know, he's about to break out in year 3 thing. The problem is, again, I'm always going to defer to the fact that he went as late as he did for a reason. 6'4", 206, runs a 4.37, and he went in the 5th round. So, listen, it's possible. Anything is possible. He could break out in year 3. Brashad Perriman in 2016 had an average grade, 499 yards, 3 touchdowns, 15.1 yards per reception. The next year, he went backwards in a big way. His overall grade was a 44. Marquez went backward from a 60 overall grade to a 57 overall grade, but pretty much stagnated for the most part. 581 went to 460. He caught 2 touchdowns each year, and his yards per reception actually went up from 15 to 17. Again, I don't super care about yards per reception, but it's still, I guess, a thing. I guess the problem that I'm having with even thinking this is that Brashad already has broken out, for one. He broke out in year 3 with Cleveland. His stats weren't great, but his grade went from a 44 to a 71. His receiving grade went from a 43 to a 76. He went from 5 drops, 4 drops, to 0 drops. His yards per reception went from 15 to 7 to 21.3. And by the way, this is when he was with Cleveland, and he only played a half a season. So the problem is, part of the comp that you're doing, Todd, looking at his first 3 years, completely omitting his 4th year, which was last year, is that he played a half a year with Cleveland in year 3 and ended up with 340 yards. In 2017, he didn't play a full year either. 2016 was his only full year in those first 3 years. And again, in about a half a year, maybe 2/3 of a year, 25 targets, 16 receptions, caught 64% of his balls. Marquez is under 50% of the balls were caught. For 340 yards and 2 touchdowns, 21.3 yards per reception. His passer rating when targeted was 134.2. Then he goes over to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, he has 65 targets, 36 receptions, 645 yards, 6 touchdowns, 17.9 yards per reception. He's already a thing. And the idea that we should pass on the guy who already kind of broke out, and maybe he's not elite elite, but he seems to be a legit number 2 option. Because there's a possibility that Marquez maybe next year won't be one of the worst wide receivers in football, which he was last year. He was ranked 94th out of 102 wide receivers. He was garbage. There is no chemistry between he and Aaron Rodgers. Zero. He cannot hit Marquez. There is no timing. There's nothing there. It's just not working. And again, we've got free agent options, and we have a draft class stacked with wide receivers. And the idea, especially as critical as this is, because the offense isn't moving, the idea that we should wait and hold off on the draft, or maybe just do kind of like a 3rd or 4th round draft pick, not go out and get a free agent. And I know I'm putting some of these words in your mouth, and you're not saying all this. You're kind of just saying wait instead of Brashad. But I'm saying we've had several years of saying that Aaron Rodgers and this offense need help. We need weapons. We don't have tight ends. We don't have wide receivers. It's Devontae and nobody else. And the idea that we're going to wait for Marquez to break out? No. He's a 5th round wide receiver who went backwards in year 2. I'm not waiting. If he breaks out, awesome. Then I guess we got 3 really good wide receivers. But I would be willing to bet a good amount of money if I were somebody that bet a lot of money on things, that he is not going to break out, just like everybody else that we said was going to break out. Geronimo was supposed to be big this year. Everybody loved Geronimo, and I had to do the same routine with Geronimo. He's not that good. Yes, he is. You're wrong. Geronimo's great. Geronimo was the third worst wide receiver in football. We got to stop, and the Packers are complicit in this to some degree. Let's bring Geronimo back. Let's see what Marquez and these guys can do. Let's give them some time. Maybe they'll turn a corner. Geronimo was the third worst wide receiver in football. Marquez was the ninth worst. Of all the 10 worst wide receivers in football, the Packers had two of them. And we're going to pass on one of the most deep and talented group of wide receivers between free agency and wide receiver because maybe Marquez won't be absolute trash next year? Never. If you want to not cut him, that's fine. But I say we go out and get, it doesn't have to be Brashad. We get somebody in free agency and we draft somebody and we see if Marquez can even make the roster. I would say it's more likely that he doesn't make the team next year than it is that he ends up being a legit number two option next year. And I'm not saying Brashad is the answer to all things. I would rather we handle this in the draft. There's a lot of pretty good options. But I do like Brashad Perriman, and I think he brings what the Packers want. Number 40 overall wide receiver. That's not elite, but he brings a certain skill set that it seems like the Packers are trying to get and just can't find. And I'm saying he's got it. And if you want to just hold off and say, why spend $8 million on him? We can get somebody in the draft. Cool. Great. Big old thumbs up. Let's do it. I'm also not opposed to getting Brashad Perriman and another wide receiver. What I'm absolutely opposed to is saying, I think we're good. Because we're not good. And we've known for several years that we're not good. It's not good enough. If we don't have a legit wide receiver option, Gutekunst has failed. Plain and simple. At least a tight end. It is an absolute failure, especially with this draft class, to not come out with a legit number two wide receiver option. An absolute abject failure, in my opinion. And I think Gutekunst knows that, and I think he will address it. But I just can't stomach that. And eventually I'm going to be wrong. One of these times I'm going to say, no, this person isn't going to turn a corner, and they will. But I'm playing the odds here. And the odds are a late-round guy that everybody likes because he's really tall and really fast, which means almost nothing. In the grand scheme of being a wide receiver, there's lots of guys that are fast and lots of guys that are tall, and they're garbage wide receivers. Some of the best wide receivers in football are 6'1", 208 pounds, and they run a 4.5 flat. We get so enamored with the flashy objects. And I think the Packers do too. Ooh, look at his spark score. I don't care! What was Devontae's spark score? Is garbage a score? Because I feel like it would have been in and around there. The fact of the matter is he's just a great wide receiver. That's just what he is. And that's just that's all I want. I don't like trashing our own guys, but I feel like if we get too enamored with our own guys because we just like them a lot, we're going to hurt ourselves in the end. We have to be able to look at these guys and say, you know what, I'm sorry, you're not good enough. Even Alan Lazard. I mean, he's a role player. He's a guy that steps up in certain games, not every game. He stepped up in a big way. We would have been in a lot of trouble without Alan Lazard. He was clearly our best wide receiver outside of Devontae. I'm very glad that we have him and brought him back and gave him the opportunity. And I'm very hopeful that he can continue that. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to be super surprised. And I'm certainly not going to hang our fate on Alan Lazard stepping up and being a legit top 32 wide receiver, top 40 wide receiver, whatever. At the end of the day, the guy had one game with over 100 yards. He had three touchdowns. And looking at his grades, if you care about that at all, let's talk about it. Three games, he was graded over 70, 70 being good. Let me read off his grades from week two through the NFC Championship. 58, 60, 54, 58, 91.8, 64, 74, 63, 59, 53, 87.8, 55, 61, 63, 66, 39, 62. The last game he went off was against the Giants, who have one of the worst cornerback groups in football. The other game he did really well was against Kansas City, terrible corner. And then against Detroit, outside of Slay, terrible corners. I'm glad Alan Lazard brought what he brought. 513 yards and three touchdowns is cool. That's nice. I have no problem with him being our number three or four wide receiver. He is not going to be our number two wide receiver. He cannot be our number two wide receiver. If he wants to take that Geronimo role and be a massively upgraded Geronimo, I'm all for that. 24-year-old guy who's 6'5", 227, can come up clutch on those third down plays, can get it in the end zone because he's just a big-bodied monster. He's a great blocker, all that stuff. I'm absolutely in favor of that. but at best, he had better be our number three by next year. We have to make a very serious effort. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, see if we can find somebody better than Devontae. If we fail and fall short and he becomes a legit number two, great. Find somebody better than Devontae. Make Devontae our number two. Why don't we set our aim a little bit higher as opposed to maybe Marquez instead of being the eighth or ninth worst wide receiver in football? Maybe he'll, you know, be decent. No. I'm sorry, but no. So anyways, with that, why don't we, because time is kind of running out, why don't we go through my wide receiver list? I'll kind of give you my thought, and then we'll just call it. So again, I've got 20 wide receivers on my list here. Most of these, I think, are relatively not super controversial. However, again, I've got two guys here, and I'll just tell you who they are now, CeeDee Lamb and T. Higgins. I'm sorry. And T. Higgins, I think, is somewhat understandable, because my criteria is you need to be able to separate, and I think it's pretty well known that he doesn't, but he's a giant guy, and he's very good at being a giant guy. So if you're in favor of that, it's fine. That's just a disagreement between how we view guys. CeeDee Lamb is where people are going to just absolutely want to destroy me. Here's all I'm going to say about CeeDee Lamb before we kind of get into it, because I just, whatever. And I want you to prove me wrong, because I feel like this is an area where I need to learn something, because everybody disagrees. Go look at CeeDee Lamb. Don't watch highlight reels. Go watch a couple of his games. Here's my test to you, though. Show me where he did something really awesome where he wasn't schemed open. I'm talking rub routes. I'm talking jet sweeps. I'm talking wide receiver screens. I'm talking flea flickers. Those don't count. I'm talking man-to-man, mano-a-mano, me versus you. He's able to use his whatever to get open and do something special. Because what I saw was a lot of missed tackles, busted assignments, and tons of scheming him open. I didn't see defenses that even respected him. There wasn't extra coverage. They weren't playing far off because they were afraid of his speed. They were playing press man, and he wasn't able to get off. And you had a team that felt the need to have to scheme him open, which generally, if you have a very good wide receiver, you don't really need to do that. Why do you have to run rub routes to get him open or jet sweeps to get him open? So go do that. Go find me a game, because I only watch one or two games per wide receiver. Again, this isn't me trying to do something super professional. I wanted a list of top 20, or to sort my list of top 20. Also, as a recommendation, if you haven't done this yet, I would suggest you do it in the way that I did it, and that is start from the bottom and work your way up, because you watch the number one guys first, and you tend to be like, I don't get what's so special. But you see some really terrible wide receivers, and then you work your way up, and you kind of start to see that special little something that they've got. So that's my thing for you for CeeDee Lamb. You're not allowed to use any scheme, because scheme doesn't have anything to do with your talent. Busted plays have nothing to do with your talent. Missed tackles have nothing to do with your talent. Maybe you could say that it kind of does, but I don't think so. And go find the best game that he played in which he created his own separation and did his own work. And then I will go watch that game and reconsider it. Because again, I'm assuming I'm wrong. But I'm not just going to lie and say he's the number two guy just because. All right, but let's start from the bottom. The one guy that got left out, I feel bad. But, you know, there's nothing here, is Gabriel Davis. And by the way, another thing that I did is I just grabbed the top 20 on my consensus board. There might be guys that I like a lot better that are later than this. But I went to my consensus board, I grabbed the first 20 on that list, and I just sorted them. Gabriel Davis, I'm sorry. My note on him is that he's Mercedes Lewis trying to be Devontae Adams. 6'3", 212, big body guy, and just can't move his body. So I don't see drafting him at all. I don't see any reason to bring him on. Of course, we're going to draft him in the fourth round, and he's going to be decent, and I'm just going to feel like a dummy. But so what? This is just what it is. And again, you're all going to have your opportunity, because I'm planning on putting these on here and then you putting your thoughts out there as well. Next lowest on my list, by the way, trying to not say so much, but I'm using filler words so I can read. I also listed where they were. So Gabriel Davis was 19th on this list. I have him as my 20th. I have number 14 is my number 19. He did make the like the rest kind of thing, but he's very low on this list. And that's Texas wide receiver Colin Johnson. People love Colin Johnson because he's 6'6", 221 pounds. And I get it, but again, I'm just not super impressed with that. I'm not impressed with just speed or just height. You got to be able to do something with it. And what I had said is I actually watched the second game. I watched him against LSU, and I would have put him in the don't want category. But LSU is super tough. So everybody I watched against LSU, I had to watch something else just to keep it kind of fair, because some of these guys are not up against great competition. I watched him go up against Utah, and that was enough to kind of put him at least in the like the rest column. But he was useless against LSU. He had no, there was just nothing there. Some of these guys also, I like to use comps, but I didn't really have anything for him. Maybe you could, who was that guy I just said? The guy that we all liked because he was 6'6" and everybody thought he was going to be great, except he wasn't. He's that guy. Number 18 on my list, he's number 17 on the consensus, is KJ Hill. I know a lot of people like him, slot guy out of Ohio State. He's built like a small shifty guy, 6'1", 192, but he's not shifty. I was kind of surprised by his lack of shiftiness. Occasionally he can kind of plant his foot and get a little bit of separation on a slant, but I didn't really see much. My comp for him was kind of a smaller Equanimeous. I think he's the kind of guy that can come in. He's the kind of guy that and again, this is why he's like the rest. I could see us drafting him late. I could see him coming in and like doing a couple good things, like Geronimo does, like Equanimeous, like MVS, like Kumaro, like Geronimo. You know, they come in and sometimes they have games where they look good. Sometimes there's plays where they look good. I don't see him being a consistent, like, this guy's solid. So I have him 18th on my list of 20. Next up, I have Van Jefferson, 6'2", 197. He's 17th on my list. He was 18th on the overall. I compared him to MVS. He's not quite as tall, but all I could see from him is some speed. I mean, if he gets behind you, he can run away. But he's MVS to a T from my perspective. He's a guy that just runs. He appears to be very fast in a straight line. He's tall. He doesn't get the ball much because that's kind of all he does. But on those plays where he gets the ball, if he gets some space, he can kind of break away. So again, I put him in the like the rest category because I can see him having a role. I don't see him as a number two, though. At number 16, and this is number 11 on the board, on the other board, so I obviously had him a lot lower. Michael Pittman out of Southern Cal, 6'4", 219. Everybody likes that size. Big guy, good hand. But again, he's another guy that I just didn't see him do a lot by himself. A lot of these guys, if you put the ball in the right spot at 6'4", they can go up and they can grab it, and that's cool. I get that. I respect that. I like that. But this is just one of those guys where, you know, if somebody's standing 10 yards off, he'll run 3 yards, stop, and he catch it and then run. Every wide receiver in the world can do that. Can stand wide open, catch a ball, run forward until somebody tackles. He also actually did a really good job with the back shoulder throws, which I respect that, the body control and everything else. But again, it's very limited, right? There's no real route tree where it's like he's really good at this, he can separate here. You know, being able to have the body control and the timing down to be able to get a back shoulder throw is cool. But again, that's kind of a scheme thing. That's finding ways to make sure that you can catch the ball, other than you just getting away from somebody. At number 15, and he was number 20 overall, so he was actually the lowest. He was my 15th, though, is Isaiah Hodgins out of Oregon State. Didn't really dislike, thought he was a really smart wide receiver. I actually compared him to Kumaro because you can see the limitations. By the way, he is 6'4", 209, so he's a much bigger. I called him a 6'4" Kumaro. But I saw him as being smart, takes what's given, good blocker, good hands, can't really separate, but he's good at like attacking the blind spots, you know. He gets the safety going one way, and that's when he cuts back the other way. So he can kind of create with his mind, which is what Kumaro can do. But again, he doesn't have that athleticism that says, I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, how you play me, I'm going to get open. This is in those moments when he gets somebody going the wrong way or he gets your back turned, you're done. Because he knows exactly how to get away from you in those moments. So I like that part of it. I like the cerebral nature of Isaiah Hodgins. Again, really good blocker. 6'4", 209. There's a lot of big guys in this class. So I like him. I like him as a late round role player, but I feel like we have too many of those already. So in general, I don't want any of these guys. And then my highest on the like the rest group is Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota. He's actually number 10 on the big board. I had him 14 overall, so I like him a little less than others. 6'2", 205. I called him Geronimo Allis. He's kind of decent at everything, not great at anything. I like his hands. He does have some ability to get open, but there's not a ton of effort. I don't see, like a lot of these guys, they're just like Tasmanian devil, right? They're going real hard. I'm not seeing like a ton of effort out of Tyler Johnson, but I could definitely see him as a guy that's you know, converting third down, smart receiver. You know, you haven't seen him all game, and then that critical third and four, he comes up and, you know, dives for a third down reception for 5 yards, pulls it in, and there you go. Don't dislike him, but I don't see him as an actual option to be a number two. Now, moving up from here, starting at number 13, these are all the possible number two. So this is kind of a broad range, right? There's some guys that I feel like this guy is definitely going to be a number two, and then there's other guys where it's like, I kind of don't think so, but I could see maybe, you know, if the stars align, I can see this happening. One of the guys, he's actually one of the most fun to watch. You could definitely see him being a complete bust in the NFL, but pretty interesting is Devin Duvernay. He was number 15 on the board. I have him as my number 13. Out of Texas, he's 5'11", but he's 202 pounds. You want to talk about a guy that's tenacious and violent? You could say I'm intrigued by him. He's a smaller guy, but he's got a decent amount of speed, and he's built like a brick house. So I kind of like that. I feel like you can use him in different ways. I feel like he's going to be a good block. But he's also, I mean, he looks like a running back. He's kind of built like one, but he's got a surprising amount of speed. I guess one way you could say is he's a much smaller and lesser version of Laviska Shenault. And so I could maybe see a sit. He's probably not going to be a number two, but I could see him as a decent enough role player, maybe a number three, whatever. But I've just put him up over those over that line. My number 12 is actually number 7 on the board, so one of the guys I dropped pretty far is Justin Jefferson. He's actually a pretty big riser, I think. I just didn't really get it. Again, remember, I'm watching one, maybe two games of these guys, so I might have just watched bad game, and I should have wrote down which one. But obviously, he plays for LSU, so he wasn't going against LSU. And I also always worry when there's a really good quarterback and there's a lot of hype or a really good offense. And some of these guys that I don't get, they all play for really good offense. So a lot of it could be the good quarterback play. Could be good offense, good scheme, whatever. And so I'm just trying to isolate the wide receiver and see what they did that's so special. I didn't get it. Jefferson's 6'3", 192. He's a tall strider. He seems to have some pretty decent speed. Didn't see much separation, although he was getting pretty mauled. But still, that's kind of your job, right? Don't let him touch you or push him off you. If you're that big, get him off. And so bottom line, I just didn't see a bunch there. But he's got the attributes of being tall and fast, and I could see just being completely wrong about him. Next, number 11, he was number 12 on the board, is Denzel Mims out of Baylor. Another big dude, 6'3", 206. I was actually very torn on this. I almost had him as my, like my number one of the number two because he's a monster. He's got great body control. He's a go-up-and-get-it master. One of the things I like is some of these guys you look at and it's like, oh, so what? He's a tall guy that can go up and get it. But you can tell he's the kind of guy that has mastered that. It's not just I'm going to run and try to jump. He'll start slowing down and using his hands to create that little bit of separation at the end so that as he jumps, it's right at the highest point. That's really hard to do, to be able to gauge that, how much you need to slow down to make sure that we don't, it's not a 50-50 ball, it's 100-0, he can't reach it, because I'm positioning myself so that the ball is only within my reach at my highest point. So, you know, there's an art to that that I really respect that I think could be really impressive, but the problem is, again, that's kind of it. Maybe I'm just too obsessed with separation, but I didn't see him do it at all. So at least he can create, but it seems like it's just kind of in that one area. Then after that, one of the biggest fallers, and again, it's more or less the tier that's important, but I put T. Higgins next, and it's very similar. He's a big dude that's very good at being a big dude. 6'4", 215, I mean, biggest in terms of height and size compared to almost everybody. I think the only one that's really bigger is going to be Colin Johnson. And so I guess I'll concede that he's probably the best as far as just being a big dude, but again, I just see a big dude. Right, I mean, you know, there was one play where he got behind everybody, but it was clearly a broken play. They were playing zone. It's not man-to-man, so he didn't run away from anybody. He gets behind the corner. He gets behind the safety. Safety was a little late to turn around, and he ended up being wide open. So, again, I just see a big guy that's just a big guy. He's good at it, and he's very big, so in terms of blocking and, you know, muscling his way through stuff, that's cool. But I just feel like we've seen a lot of guys who are big and can't separate that get a lot of hype and don't do anything in the NFL. Because you can't just out-physical and out-muscle NFL corners. Not very easily. And then, above that, I have CeeDee Lamb. And if I'm being completely honest, I probably would have put him lower if I just had the guts to do it. I didn't see much of anything. He's 6'2", he's 189 pounds, so he's a smaller guy. But at 189 pounds, I still didn't see shiftiness. I see him at the line kind of doing a lot of footwork and trying to do stuff, and then somebody gets inside of his chest and carries with him. Every single time he did anything, he was schemed open. He did have some ability. When I was watching Pro Football Focus, and this was just, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago, they were going through their wide receivers and kind of describing. Even they, I feel like, are being dishonest. Because they were talking about CeeDee Lamb and what makes him so great, and they couldn't come up with anything. They even said something to the effect of, it seems like it shouldn't work, but it just does. So we're giving him credit because it just, one way or another, it happened. I can't do that. I can't look at it and say, yeah, well, look at his stats, look at his touchdowns. You know, granted, he didn't do anything special, but he must have done something because stuff happened. I gotta see it, man. I gotta see it with my own eyes. And I'm not gonna go watch highlight videos. I watched two games because I wanted to be sold on CeeDee Lamb. I didn't want to put him low. I just didn't see. I saw maybe one reception where he did it by himself. Maybe. And it was zone. It was not man. I've never seen him beat man-to-man. I'm sure he's done it, probably on several occasions. I'm just saying, I watched two games, never saw him do it once. I saw him hit an open spot in the zone once. Every other reception, including all of his touchdowns. One of his touchdowns came off a flea flicker where he was wide open. One of his touchdowns came off a rub route. So again, I'm conceding he's probably going to go very early, and he's probably going to be a very good wide receiver, and I'm going to be proved wrong, but I need someone to explain this to me. Somebody smarter than me tell me why CeeDee Lamb is such a great wide receiver. Thank you very much for your time. One spot above him, I have Bryan Edwards out of South Carolina, 6'3", 215. I just think he's a big dude that actually has some good characteristics. He's got a real good release off the line. He gets used all over the formation. He gets put in motion. He's a good blocker. He's a decent route runner. I don't think he's elite, but I could see him as a guy. I mean, at 6'3", who's got that good a footwork and can get off at the line and just kind of makes his own way. This might even be kind of the line. You could almost say this is like another tier up, because I genuinely believe in his skill set. Whereas the guys below this, it's just a matter of I can't see for myself what makes them that great. And with Bryan Edwards, he doesn't exactly have the T. Higgins size or the Denzel Mims size, but he's got some utility, and he's got some versatility on top of it. One spot above that, and another one that's going to upset a lot of people, and I actually really, really liked him and wanted to like him. I had the Packers trading up for him in my last mock, but I've got Henry Ruggs. He's number 3 on the overall big board. I have him as my number 7. Alabama wide receiver, 6', 190 pounds. He's going to be running in the 4.2s. The biggest problem I had with him is I just saw speed. And I know I'm taking a big risk putting him low because just that speed alone makes him lethal. But to be honest, that's the only reason he's even this high. You know, the other thing that's working against me is if the one guy he reminds me of would be Breshad Perriman. Obviously, he can do a lot of stuff. He can get behind people. He can run away from people. And then just coming across the formation, he's got man beater written all over him. He just didn't get away as much as I thought. People were able to run with it, especially if they got their hands on him. They could slow him down and run with him for a long ways. And all of these Alabama guys are hard to watch because there's so many weapons. They don't get the ball as much as, you know, if they were on a different team. But I think there's other guys, and we're going to talk about them in the upper tier, that have a lot of speed that I felt just had a better overall skill set. Whereas Henry Ruggs, I feel like he's just fast. Not bad, not a garbage wide receiver, otherwise I would have put him lower. I don't know. I'm looking for some kind of a great thing, you know, something off the line, some great hands, you know, 50-50, go up and get it, any of that stuff. I just didn't see any of it. It's just speed. And there's a lot, and you're going to see the big plays, and he's going to be great with highlight reels because he's going to fly past people. But we've seen this before. You got to be more than just height. You got to be more than just speed. And we'll see what happens with Ruggs. I could definitely see him being like a DeSean Jackson type, where he's, you know, one or two big plays a game and nobody's upset about it. But I also think that that's not exactly what we're... I mean, listen, if we get Henry Ruggs, I'm going to be excited because of the potential, and I think he's just a better version of MVS. He's not as big, but he's much faster, and I think he's a better fast receiver. Also a faster fast receiver. But he's just not a lock in my mind. And then my top possible number 2 is a guy I've been talking about for a while, Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's number 13 overall on the list. He's my number 6. I just believe in his skill. I mean, he's got a great build, 6'2", 208. I like his route running ability. He's big, he's fluid, he's got great hands. I mean, the guy's got like several Odell Beckham-type catches. So maybe he's just a little higher because I fell for him the other couple days ago. But he's definitely on that upper middle tier with Bryan Edwards and those guys. I just think that he has that ability. I wouldn't be surprised if he could be a legit number 2 option. And then everybody else, I've got 5 more, are, I'm calling them my guys, guys that I've watched that I genuinely believe in. And I'm actually surprised because the lowest on this list is a guy that I didn't super care for when I just watched him by himself. But after watching all these guys, when I finally got to him, my number 5, he's actually number 8 on the overall board, so I'm actually much higher on him than others, which shocks me because I thought I'd be lower. But it's Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. My comp for him was Davante Adams. I just think he's a phenomenal route runner. I think he's great off the line. I think he's super ultra clean route runner. I mean, he doesn't get me excited like some of these other guys get me excited. But at the same time, what have I been saying for a long time that I want? I don't care about spark score and speed and height. I just want a good route runner like Davante Adams, a good receiver. That's exactly what this guy is. So I'm not in love with the guy, but he checks the boxes that I've been saying I want. So in the effort of me being consistent, I got to put him relatively high. The other thing I really like about him, and this, I don't know how you quantify this, but he looks natural. It looks easy for him. Some of these guys, they look like it's so labored. They're trying so hard. CeeDee Lamb looks like he's trying real hard, like doing all this crazy stuff at the line, and then he doesn't get anywhere. Ayuk plays like he looks like he's bored. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, this just seems easy for him. Ultra clean route runner. Looks natural. And I will say maybe a little bit unrefined, but I feel like he's got that natural Devontae skill set that if he gets in there, maybe not year one, I don't know exactly how that would work out, but I could just see him getting polished and becoming just a great receiver. One spot above is a guy that I like a lot higher than where I put him on my list. He might be like my favorite in terms of just guys that I'm, in terms of just being my guy, but I got to kind of be consistent to something. He's only 5'9", 176, and that's KJ Hamler. The guy's open every single time he runs a route. He's super fast, super shifty, but, you know, I don't know. He's a smaller guy. He doesn't have the physicality. He's not going to be blocking down the field. And specifically talking about the Packers, when they look at, they like big guys. Even in the slot, they like big guys. So obviously that's going to be a knock. But I just, every time I see him come off the line, I get excited. He just flies, bursts off the line. And again, his cuts are so sudden. He's just open. He's always open. So I very, very much like KJ Hamler, always have. And again, if it was just a matter of like which guys get me the most excited, KJ Hamler might be my number one wide receiver, but I've got to try to be somewhat consistent and realistic about some stuff. He doesn't have the skill sets of a Jerry Jeudy or any of these other guys, so I gotta control myself a bit. Number three on my list is number six overall on my big board. I've got Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor is Henry Ruggs, but as a very good wide receiver. I don't see what Henry Ruggs has than Jalen Reagor over Jalen Reagor other than a little bit faster. But 5'11", 195, obviously he's a little bit smaller, but he's basically 6 foot 200. There's not that big of a difference. It feels small because you see a 5 and you see a 1, but he's basically the exact same as a 6 foot 200 pound guy. But the what I saw from Jalen is what I wanted to see from Henry Ruggs. Jalen gets me super excited. He's very, very fast. He has no problem getting behind guys. Even with, and they consistently were played scared of him. This is what you don't see from CeeDee Lamb. Nobody's playing press man against Jalen Reagor. They're 10 yards off every single time, which, by the way, helps a lot of the other wide receivers and tight ends were benefited from the fact that the defense is playing scared of Jalen Reagor. It's not just Jalen Reagor. He dictates to a defense, and that in and of itself is impressive. And Henry Ruggs kind of does this too, but again, that's just one attribute of Jalen Reagor. He's very good at getting those automatic 5 yards. You just, you know, how many times have we seen that with the Packers? And like I said, that's another attribute of guys like Tyreek Hill. There are times when it's like a 3rd and 4 and guys are playing 10 yards off. So what do? You just throw it to him and he gets an easy 4 yards. And that's Jalen Reagor. You saw that consistently. He'd run 3 yards up, he'd catch the pass, and he'd either get a minimum of 5 yards. So you're playing 10 yards off on a 1st and 10. It's an automatic 5 yards. But he's got such good yards after the catch, he can a lot of times turn that into 10. I love him with the ball in his hand. I love his speed. I really like his route running. And actually, for a smaller-ish guy, his ability to go up and catch the ball and win 50-50 balls is pretty impressive. So there's nothing I don't like about Jalen Reagor. He's kind of like a combination of KJ Hamler and Henry Ruggs, right? He's a better receiver than Ruggs, in my opinion. And he's more of a, got a little bit more of a build of a wide receiver than KJ Hamler does. Maybe a little bit less limitation, whereas KJ's probably just going to be a slot guy. Jalen can go anywhere. And so, yeah, big fan of Jalen Reagor. And again, this is another one where I wasn't big on Ayuk. I wasn't big on Reagor. Wasn't big on Chenault, which is kind of a giveaway, but whatever. But after going through and going in reverse order and watching, you really start to get a better appreciation, which brings us to number two. He's number four on the big board. He's my number two, Laviska Shenault. And I remember people used to tell me, like, oh, I love Shenault, and I'm looking at it like, I don't super get it. I 100% get it now. First of all, this guy is 6'2", 220 pounds. The only guy who weighs more is 6'6", Colin Johnson, who is 221 pounds. So they're basically the same. The thing that I thought he was just is, I kind of just thought he was a big wide receiver that can kind of do gadgety stuff, but wasn't a legit wide receiver. I absolutely disagree with my previous assessment. He actually has incredible speed. He's got breakaway speed. I was shocked when he caught a pass and ran away from the defense, but he did. At 220 pounds, he's able to run away from the defense. I think he's a very clean and good route runner, which also surprised me. And it's really, at any one thing, I think Jalen Reagor obviously is better in a lot of areas. I think Hamler's better in a lot of areas. I think Ayuk is better at a lot of areas. But you take the versatility, the fact that he can do, you put him out wide, he can handle it. You put him in the slot, he can handle it. You put him at Wildcat, he can handle it. You can have him running jet sweeps, end arounds. You can have him do anything. He's a great blocker. You add that versatility to a team like the Packers who want to be able to do lots of different things. And I think at worst, he's just a wide receiver. But you get a little bit of creativity mixed in with Laviska Shenault, especially at 220 pounds, to just maul people, to run through people, to run over people. Again, I was shocked. Shocked to see, as big as he is, how fast and how agile he is. So a lot of it is that he's not probably the best in any one category, but he can do all of it. And I think he can do it all well. So I'm definitely a believer in Shenault. And I just think he's a rare kind of guy. At 220 pounds, he shouldn't be able to do a lot of the stuff that he does. Running a wildcat at 220, okay, I kind of get that. He's big. But he's also shifty and agile and intelligent. So very, very impressive. And not surprisingly, number one was Jerry Jeudy. And, again, if this is one of those things where I'm just wanting my jaw to drop, he didn't do it as much as I thought. But the fact of the matter is, if you put forward a criteria and say these are the attributes I'm looking for, there's no question Jerry Jeudy is better than everybody. The way he just like pops off the line is just, it's almost weird to watch. It's almost like he's teleporting from one spot to the other so that the guy can't touch him. And then his ability to be shot out of a cannon, he's got a lot of speed. He's another guy similar to Ayuk who just kind of looks bored. It's easy for him. He's just natural and he's fluid. So, I mean, I don't know that he's much of a highlight reel guy as much as he didn't get me super. I mean, he is. He's got great highlights, I'm sure. But part of the problem was Alabama, lots of other wide receivers that are super talented, super fast. And so he didn't get the ball as much as I was hoping. There are times when he's wide open. It's like, dude, let me see him catch it. So I didn't get to see, a lot of these guys are they're really good and they're the only ones on their team that are any good. So they're getting force fed the ball. So you get to see their ability to separate. You can see their ability to go up and get 50-50 balls and do all this crazy stuff. But Jerry Jeudy is just, he's a guy. He's the best in a group of elite wide receivers. But at the end of the day, he's just a guy. We don't have to lean on him. I mean, their running back is a freak. That guy's nuts. I haven't gone through running backs yet, but that guy is amazing. But again, you go through and you create a checkbox. These are what I want in a wide receiver. And to say Jerry Jeudy doesn't have the best of those attributes, I think is just a little silly. So, again, my top five guys that I 100% believe in, Jerry Jeudy, Laviska Shenault, Jalen Reagor, KJ Hamler, and Brandon Ayuk. In order, guys that could legit be number twos, which is pretty solid if you think about it, that there's this many guys that I believe could be better than the guys we have. We got Donovan Peoples-Jones, Henry Ruggs, Bryan Edwards, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Denzel Mims, Justin Jefferson, and Devin Duvernay. Guys that I see as late rounders that are probably going to be another MVS, EQ, Kumaro, Geronimo are Tyler Johnson, Isaiah Hodgins, Michael Pittman, Van Jefferson, KJ Hill, and Colin Johnson. And then guys that I have no interest in drafting at all, Gabriel Davis. So anyways, again, I'm going to be giving you guys the opportunity to kind of go through and put your own notes down. I haven't done that yet. I don't know if I'm going to have time today, but I look forward to doing that. And again, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hate in the Facebook group, and that's fine, and everywhere else. But I legitimately want to see it. And do not send me a highlight reel, or I will disregard it and block you. I don't care about highlight videos. Send me a game. Send me a timestamp. Look what he did here. That's true for Henry Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb. Anybody, whoever, I don't care. You think somebody else should be higher, somebody else should be on this list, fine. But that was the conclusion I came to, not super happy with some of them. But, just being honest, it is what it is. I saw what I saw. Anyways, you folks have yourselves a fantastic Sunday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.